We like to think of beer as a connecting force. Our purpose as a brewery is to foster human connection, and we feel like there's something unique about beer that has the ability to break down barriers and to cause people to connect.
One thing that breweries are uniquely suited to do is to still tell stories. Creature Comforts Brewing Company, we think of ourselves as a good like community hub. People can gather around, they can have a beer, they can share something that they're passionate about. Sometimes the beers are vehicles for us to share stories with folks. We work a lot with local farmers.
Since the dawn of time, people have met over food and drink to tell stories and connect. And there's one brewery in Athens that aims to be a force for good beyond just the tap room, bringing comfort to all. I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand. I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. For this episode, I'm traveling to Athens, home of the UGA Bulldogs, REM, and the B-52s. And if you've ever been to Athens, you probably already know about Creature Comforts. Founded in 2014 and only a six-minute drive from Sanford Stadium, the Creature Comforts Brewery and Taproom has become a fixture in Athens. From Athens to Hollywood,
it's Thor's favorite beer.
Creature Comforts is now known all across this great land. Even with all the success, what Creature Comforts is truly proud of is what they bring to their community.
You know, we started in 2014, but really it started a couple years before that, when 2012 or so, when the move from David homebrewing Creature Comforts beer, and I joined in March of early 2014, and then we opened in April, at the end of April. And from the beginning, you know, we had, when it was just five of us, you know, we knew that we, one, wanted to build a different type of business, and really thought that we had the opportunity to bring some, just add more to the local scene of craft beer here, both through how we support communities and the type of business we build, but really the types of beers we'd make as well.
That's the voice of Chris Herron, the co-founder and former CEO of Creature Comforts. Originally of Tire Shop, the building where Creature Comforts now resides is both the company's brewery and tap room. However, Chris sees the tap room as more than just a place to drink, it's a place to connect.
You go back, when we first opened this one, you notice when you come in here, it's just a big open space, and it was designed in the effort to be more like a town hall kind of gathering. And really, that was based on the historical sort of context of what breweries used to be. If you were to go back a long way, they were really gathering halls, they were community centers, they were places that people would come and enjoy a pint and connect with each other. And so we really wanted this to be a community hub. We wanted it to be a place that we could transform, whether we were hosting a band or we have had really like cool art shows in here with even ballet being performed. So we've done all kinds of unique things, you know, female wrestling, arm wrestling recently. You know, we wanted this Athens to feel like this was their place. And what's been neat is, and we didn't think about it, is all of the people who go to University of Georgia, graduate, it kind of has become a place for a lot of them when they come back in town. And so they've really taken the brand with them in unique ways, and they have a lot of great memories we've hosted.
Indeed, Creature Comforts Tap Room is a special place in Athens. However, Creature Comforts' role in Athens goes beyond just being a place for the local community to meet.
I like that you all, it's important to you all to still be local in this community. Yeah. You know, I was talking with Dan earlier about using local farmers and things like that. Tell me about the importance of, you know, using local resources to build this business.
It's about investing in your community, you know, and that community being either, you know, very Athens-centric. But we do think that, you know, part of how we improve our community is by supporting it through our investment into the resources that we buy and that we acquire. And so from the very beginning, we have used different types of local ingredients and different types of beers. As we've grown, we've actually been able to incorporate more of that in. So for example, Athena, which is our Berliner Weiss, started out, we were buying that wheat from just a, you know, sort of a mass market supplier, if you will. And we've since been able to transition that to Dayspring Farms, which is only about 20 minutes away from us. We've also worked with the University of Georgia and their U-Garden program, as well as a lot of other local farmers on, you know, Rhonda's blueberries or Pearson's peaches. Yeah. So we've been able to incorporate a lot of that stuff into beers at different times.
Speaking of UGA, Creature Comforts also works with the college to provide opportunities for the next generation of Bulldogs. Dan Reingold, the marketing director, explains this connection.
When it comes to Athens, the Bulldogs right now, the football Bulldogs, kind of rule the roost, and that has become a part of Creature Comforts. There's a collaboration now. Talk about the connection between the Georgia Bulldogs and Creature Comforts.
Being a brewery, being based in downtown Athens, there's been a whole bunch of different intersection points that we've had with the university. It really starts off with people. Creature Comforts is a company that's made up of dozens and dozens of graduates from the University of Georgia. We've worked with Be Collaborative, Terry's MBA program, which has really helped us to walk through the B assessment process, which helped us become Georgia's first certified B Corp brewery back in July of 2019. We've also had internships who come and make up our workforce here across the School of Sustainability, the Office of Public Health, the Microbiology Department, the J.M. Toll School of Accounting, and of course, Terry's Institute for Leadership Advancement. University of Georgia Athletics was really kind of the last piece of the puzzle. We wanted to connect our brand in a way that consumers can understand that, hey, it's not just about the sports team. We are here for the community of Athens. We are here. We are part of the University of Georgia in a lot of different ways. And now we've made it official with Creature Comforts becoming the official craft beer of the University of Georgia Athletics. And our brewery here in downtown Athens, the official tap room of the Georgia Athletics Department.
Now it's time to learn how this delicious beer is made.
And whenever you're ready, Dan.
Okay. Adam, start off saying, spell your name and your position here.
It's Adam Beauchamp. It's spelled B-E-A-U-C-H-A-M-P. And I'm the chief production officer.
He is also a co-founder of Creature Comforts. And at the time of this interview, he was the production officer and is now the CEO. He gave me the rundown.
Now, I see a lot of equipment here.
Yeah.
A lot of barrels, but
yeah.
There's more. This is the original.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we opened this facility. We call it our snow tire facility. It was an old Chevrolet dealership back in the 40s, which became a tire shop later on, and some of the old signage is still around. But we opened here in 2014. We continue to brew here today, although we've built a large facility down the road about a mile away. This continues on as a bit of an R&D facility.
You're like, and it's too intimidating.
Yeah.
Years ago, I'm like, maybe I'll start a micro, and I don't have the, my brain doesn't work like that.
I didn't know what it was when I decided to do it. I was just like, I'm going to be a brewmaster, and I literally just pulled up the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do this? But yeah, I just started and learned on the job. Yeah, it took us several years to get all this together. Just the funding really took the longest time. we were 30, so nobody wanted to give us $2.5 million, and took a while. You know, I hope we occupy this building forever, because it's just got a really special vibe and a connection with the community.
First, we start at the silo where we find the soul of the beer, malt.
For now, we want to go through the process, how it's all done. I guess we are at, other than where it's all grown, this is where it comes in. This is where it all starts.
Absolutely, yeah. We receive it in a silo outside. From a maltster. This is a malted barley that we're talking about, which is really the soul of beer. It comes in on these conveyors, it gets weighed out here, and then we mill it in a two-roller mill, which is adjustable, so we can really refine how finely we want to grind it. We want to grind it because we're exposing the starch on the inside of that kernel. It drops on these conveyors after it's ground up, and then we shoot it off up into the brew house.
Once milled, the next step is to mash the malt. That's fun to say. Mash the malt. Mash the malt. Mash the malt.
Yeah, so once we have milled the malt, it's going to come into our mash tun, actually. So we mill and then we mash. Mash is when we mix it with hot water. That begins to convert the starch into sugar, some enzymes inside the malt that do that work for us. And once that's finished, we just warm that up and then transfer it into our lauter tun here. That's a process of separation. So we're gonna separate the solids from the grain from the liquid that we're really interested in. The solids actually go to local cattle farms that use it as feed, and it's a really valuable product for them that we're able to sort of utilize in a way that that just closes the loop on that waste stream. So it's really effective.
After milling and mashing the malt, it's time to introduce a popular ingredient all IPA lovers know very well, hops.
So after we're finished lautering, we get the spent grain out. We're collecting wort here in our kettle. And okay. Wort is the liquid, the name for it, until we add yeast, and that's when we begin to call it beer. The wort is basically just a sweet liquid. It's an extract from that malted barley. We begin to boil it, and that does a few things. It sterilizes it, so there are all sorts of bacteria living on malt that's been stored from the field, so we want to make sure it's clean. We want to clarify it, so it gets some of the protein to coagulate out, and that gives us a nice, bright beer. And that also gives us the opportunity to boil hops. So hops are not really bitter unless they are boiled. So,
okay.
Yeah, and hops really provide a counterpoint to the malt from a culinary point of view. If we were just drinking the malt tea, it's very sweet and it's not incredibly balanced. Balance is one of our values, so we always want to do things in balance, and hops really bring that to the beer or the wort at this point. So the longer you boil them, the more bitterness you get. After you're finished with this boil, it usually takes about 60 minutes. We shoot it into this whirlpool, spins around and around, and that allows the solid particulate that's left, mostly in the form of hops, to collect in the middle of that whirlpool and then settle out into the floor into a cone. And that cone lets us do a really good separation of that liquid and as we transfer it into a fermenter. Okay. So we can add hops at this step as well. The later you add them in the process, the less bitterness and the more flavor and aroma you extract.
Mmm, delicious hops and IPAs.
Oh!
Wait, what's the sound in the distance?
David, can you just read the script?
Oh, sorry.
All right, I'm rolling.
All right, I hear something bubbling.
Absolutely, all yeah, right. This is a fermenter. So this is the next step in the process. This particular tank looks like it's finishing up. It's just kind of a little trickle of bubbles coming out, but once we feed that wort to the yeast here in a fermenter, it is going to eat all the sugar. It's going to make alcohol. It's going to make carbon dioxide. It makes flavor. And it makes a little bit of heat as well. So this is really when, you know, this sort of sugary water that we've been making in the brew house turns into what we all recognize as beer.
All the magic. It's just the chemistry of everything happens in here.
It's biology.
With the beer fermented and carbonated, there is only one last step before it's available for purchase: packaging.
All right, so we're out of the production facility.
Yes.
It's kind of the last step.
Exactly right.
All right.
Yeah, so once we're done fermenting back here, we go through a separation process in the centrifuge. We get into a bright tank. We do a bunch of quality checks. It's called a bright tank because the beer's bright. It's been filtered or centrifuged. And it's crystal clear in most cases, unless we're going for a haze.
Okay.
We add carbonation, we taste it, we send it through a sensory panel to make sure it's tasting good. And as soon as it clears all its checks, we're ready to send it into a package. So.
Sure, the beer is the star of the show at Creature Comforts, but not everything is about beer. The people here at Creature Comforts are very proud of how they give back to the community. And when Chris needed someone to run those initiatives, there was only one person for the job.
Fenwick Broyard, Vice President of Brand Impact here at Creature Comforts.
Fenwick has worked in nonprofit programs his entire career. However, Creature Comforts represented a special opportunity.
My sort of history with Creature dates back 9 years, but officially I've only been an employee for the last 3.5 years. I think what drew me to this company, I never thought I would work in the private sector. My entire career has been public sector. I've done nonprofit work. I've worked for school district. Never really thought I'd get into the private sector. And frankly, I never would have had it not been for Creature Comforts and the type of company that this is. It's the only private sector company I could see myself working for. And so when the opportunity to join the team was presented, I leapt at it. I was working for the Clark County School District just prior to coming here, and had an opportunity to come here and frankly, to kind of redirect some of the efforts for the Get Comfortable program towards what we're focused on right now.
Partnering with local leaders and existing community programs is what makes the Get Comfortable program unique.
In this case, what I think the wisdom in what Creature decided to do was to really kind of ask the community to direct the giving of this company. They didn't want to come in and feel like they were offering up the solution. And so, you know, pretty early on what we did, we convened an advisory committee of folks. We've got people from our local United Way, our community foundation, folks from local government. And we essentially asked them, like, hey, we know how much money we're going to be able to generate. People love our product. We want to be a good neighbor. We want Athens to be better because we're here. What would y'all recommend?
One particular example of the Get Comfortable program's success received attention far outside of Athens.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you about the one we're working on right now that we're proudest of. A couple years ago, we made the commitment, and again, coming out of COVID and sitting down with that advisory committee, asking them what they thought should be our priority focus, we recognized that for a whole population of kids going through COVID, having to learn how to read through masks, we were going to be potentially not setting ourselves up for success in terms of building the workforce of the future in our community here. And at the time, even prior to COVID, we were having issues with literacy in our town. This was back in 2021. At that time, only 20% of our third graders were reading on grade level. And frankly, when we ran across that statistic, our stomachs turned. For the last 3 years, we've thrown all of our resources and all of our philanthropic dollars towards addressing that problem. We're in the third year of our pilot program right now. We've been piloting at a single school, essentially trying to perfect the recipe before scaling that out, and have already started to line up business partners, because the ultimate plan is to have our intervention in all 14 elementary schools. So we're working with the nonprofit partner that we selected through our process and offering one-on-one literacy instruction to second and third grade students who are either one or two grade levels behind in reading. Coming out of the first year of our program, our students outperformed their peers and the students in the control group by 4 times. So we're really happy with the success of the program, looking to cycle that data. Word of our success has already started to get around in the state, and we've been contacted. We've had conversations with the Department of Education, the Governor's Office of Student Accountability. Everybody's shocked that a business, and in particular a brewery, is involved in the work of early literacy and doing so as effectively as we are. So we've been invited to sit on panels. We're talking to businesses in other parts of the state about how they can replicate what we're doing here in town. And essentially, our team is currently in the process of building out a playbook that we're going to try to distribute so that others can replicate our success, because what we've discovered since we've been doing this work is the problems that we were...
Get Comfortable is not the only way Creature Comforts is giving back.
So we've got another initiative, Brew for One. So we think about our Get Comfortable program as the way that we impact our community. Brew for One is the program through which we try to impact individuals in our town. The sort of mantra of that program is we try to do for one what we wish we could do for everyone.
The Brew for One program creates a unique beer for an individual in need, and all profits from the beer sales go to help that individual. One example of the Brew for One program has a close connection.
So the most recent iteration of that program, the wildfires that took place in Maui, actually directly impacted our company. The sister of one of our employees lost her home and her bagel shop on the island of Maui in the Maui wildfires. And so Maui Brewing was launching a project called Kakua. They were asking breweries around the country to brew a beer and to dedicate the profits to supporting the relief efforts in Maui. What we decided to do was to kind of pivot our approach to supporting that overall effort by leaning into the values of Brew for One and really trying to identify a single individual whose life we could impact. And so working in partnership with that employee of ours, we had his sister come in, sort of spell out for us what her needs were, and we brewed the Kakua beer in collaboration with Maui Brewing, specifically with the intention of raising profits to help her get her bagel company back on the ground, which had become a bit of a mainstay in Maui. So that program is one that we kind of think of as like a companion to our Get Comfortable. Get Comfortable is how we make our city better. Brew for One is really how we affect the lives of individuals in our town.
Fenwick is extremely proud of all the good work that's being done at Creature Comforts.
I tell people it's the best nonprofit job I've ever had. I don't have to worry about fundraising anymore, because we take 1% of the revenue that we generate every year and put it directly towards our philanthropic efforts. And so the dollars that we have to make a difference are only going to grow as our business grows. So our hope is that people enjoy our product because we make a fantastic product, but that they also want to buy our product because they know that we're going to steward their dollars effectively and truly make a difference in their home communities.
Creature Comforts is far more than just its beer, it's a brewery looking to bring good into the world. Whether that is fostering connection in the tap room or creating nonprofit initiatives that uplift its community, Creature Comforts is truly a force for positivity in Athens and the world.
Yeah, I think from the start we had a vision of what we thought we wanted to do. But what we've become is really, I would just say, a culmination of all the employees who have come through the doors here. You know, we're a certified B Corp at this point, which is really a genuine effort for us to say, we think we're building a great company, but how do we get any level of confidence in that? And so B Corp is a nonprofit that certifies a business that says, hey, you're focused on, you know, trying to produce your products more environmentally friendly, you care about your workers, you're investing in your community, you have good governance structures, and you care about your consumer. And so we were one of 16 breweries to achieve that. We're really proud of that.
And I think that's another testament to just, that's something that employees brought to us and then everybody worked collectively on for 2 years to get that certification. And so, just what Creature is far more than, you know, what the founders have created. It is really just an incredible space created by the consumers who have loved us and the employees who have worked here. And we're just, we're beyond grateful for the opportunities we've been provided.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the gpb.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.